songs we sung. It was really probably three of my top favorites that we do sing, and we sing them all tonight. Not that one. I do like that song as a closer, though. But anyways, so you think about that for a minute. You have a new name. A new name in the Lord. You've been redeemed. Thank God we're redeemed. Our God is greater and stronger. He's the healer. He's awesome in power. There's no one like Him, amen? And He's on the move. If you ain't dead, He'll still use you, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this evening that we get to serve God. There's no one better to serve in your life. You could do a lot of things in your life, but it doesn't add up to being able to do things for God. That He would allow us to do things for the kingdom of God. That's amazing to me. To think that God would use me. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 17 this evening, but I want to read Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4 first. Just listen to it closely. It says, "When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are all about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, 'Hear, Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to give you victory.'" You have victory in Christ, amen? Amen. I want to read it one more time. Verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you," amen, church? Amen. "Against your enemies and to give you victory." You won't find victory apart from Christ. You can only find victory in Christ in your life. They go together. They're the two amazing things that if you believe in Christ, He gives you victory over death. He redeems your life. He delivers you. It's an amazing thing. He's our protector and our provider. The one thing that you can have in your life that's protection from God. And He provides for us. Amen? Amen. He provides for us. He is the Lord Almighty. Trust in Him to protect and provide for you. He is all those things. And this is amazing to me, is that His goodness, the goodness of God, is made known. That even when I complain, even when I lose faith, even when I doubt, His goodness is made known, because He still protects and He still provides. Despite when I complain, despite when I gripe, despite when I lose faith at times, and despite when I doubt, He still provides. Is that not amazing to you, to know that the grace and mercy of God is abounding? His fountain never runs dry. The streams of His rivers of grace and mercy never run dry in your life. If you need those things, you can always go to the one who supplies it. Amen? Amen. This is amazing to me, that even when I am not faithful and I fall short many times, God still protects me and He still provides for me. I don't deserve that kind of protection and provision in my life. But He gives it freely. He gives it. He doesn't ask anything of you because He doesn't need anything. Why? Because He is God, the Lord, the maker of all things. He doesn't need anything from you. Just trust in Him, the one who protects and provides. Amen, church. Amen. But there are many times in our life where we lose focus, where we lose sight of who we're supposed to follow. We get caught up in, we see the battle that's in front of us. We see the war that's in front of us, and we're just so fixated on the war, we can't see who we're supposed to be following. We see the things of the world, the money and the pleasure and all those things, and we lose sight of who we're supposed to be following. So let me ask you this evening, is where is your focus? And where are you looking? Where is your focus in life? And where are you looking? Exodus chapter 17. I hope this message tonight is a reminder to you of who the Lord is in your life. If I want you to get one thing, I want you to just be reminded tonight of who the Lord actually is in your life. See, the Israelites up until this point to Exodus chapter 17, man, their journey is pretty crazy. They're enslaved into Egypt for 400 years, and then Moses comes on the scene, and Moses, he runs from Egypt. He's afraid what's going to happen to him there, so he runs, and for like 40 years, he's just wandering in the wilderness. He's kind of stationed, and then God comes to him in a burning bush, and God calls him to go back to the people and to lead his people out of slavery, to lead them out of Egypt. And Moses is like, I don't know if I can do it, but he does it anyways. He goes anyways, and then when he gets there into Egypt, and he talks to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, yeah, right, I'm not doing that. These people work for me. Thousands and thousands of people doing what Pharaoh wants them to do. I ain't doing that. Well, then the plagues happen. We all know the 10 plagues. And then finally that last plague really hit Pharaoh hard, and he's like, take them. Moses, get these people out of here. They've got to go. And then he begins to lead the people away from Egypt to the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh had this moment where he's like, what did I do? I let all my slaves go. So they come after them. They're going to come and they're going to take them back. They're going to get them. They're going to go to war against them. And then the people get to the Red Sea and they're stuck. Where are they going to go? They're stuck. The chariots are coming after them. And what do they say to Moses? Did you just bring us to the sea just for us to die? It would be better if you never showed up, Moses. It would have been better if you just left us in Egypt. At least we had food in Egypt. It would be better if you left us in Egypt because we're going to die here. And then Moses stands on the rock and he holds the staff above the sea, and the sea parts. Amazing, amazing miracle. And the Israelites walk on dry ground through the Red Sea. And then the Egyptians are coming after them. They're on in the water. And then when all the Israelites are past the sea, all the water's crushed the Egyptians, the chariots and the horses, everything is decimated. The Israelites didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was walk. All they had to do was walk, and the Lord took care of them. And then they begin to wander in the desert. Wander in the desert, and obviously when you start wandering in the desert, what happens? You begin to become hungry. And then we see this awesome miracle with the manna, and the people gripe and they complain to Moses, said basically the same thing they keep complaining about. Did you just bring us here to die? And then Moses calls out to God, and God provides bread. He provides quail for them, and they're satisfied morning and evening, satisfied. They didn't have to do anything, but they're satisfied, protected, and provided by God. A lot. They had a lot of bread. So much that at times they got sick and tired of it. A lot of bread. And then we get to this point in Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 1. It says, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? See, the Israelites, they got a real problem here. What's their problem? Is they ain't got no water. They're thirsty. And I can imagine, it's been a long time. It's months. It's been months, and they really haven't had anything to drink, and they become thirsty. They got this real problem. But here's the problem with that, is they complain to the wrong person. They complain to Moses. What do they say? He says, why did you bring us up out of Egypt just to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? And then they tell him, give us water to drink. What is Moses going to do? Moses doesn't just have a backpack of water he's keeping for himself. Moses doesn't have any water either. What's Moses supposed to do? And he says, why are you quarreling with me? What am I supposed to do? Why do you put the Lord God to the test? Don't you remember all what he's already done? Why do you put him to the test? This is the problem. We see the problem and we just gripe and we complain to the wrong person. We blame others for the problems that are in our lives. We don't like the way our life is going, so we complain and we gripe and we begin to blame others. And this is the problem. If they would have just cried out to God, maybe God would have heard them. They cried out because they were in bondage to slavery, and God hears their cries and rescues them. Wow, does God's track record show that when the people cry out, wow, does he help? Amen? Is that not a testimony in your life that when you cry out to God, wow, does he end up helping us in a mighty, mighty way? In a mighty, mighty way. The people forgot what God had already done. It hasn't been that long. They served the God that split the Red Sea. They served the God that had manna from heaven come down to feed them. They forget that they were in bondage for 400 years. And many times, we forget what the Lord has done. And when we forget what the Lord has done, we begin to lose sight of who we're following. This is what the people often did. They forgot who they were following. They weren't following really Moses. They were. Moses was their leader, but what were they following? That pillar cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Where'd that come from? Moses didn't make that. That came from the Lord. It's the same thing with us. It's the same thing for believers. We're not following. We praise the Lord, he's given us leaders. Praise the Lord for Jimmy, our pastor. Praise the Lord, there's men of God to lead us. We need them in our life. But we follow God. Amen? Amen. We follow the Lord. Verse 4, it says, then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. See, they begin to get so angry that they're like, we got to take Moses out. They're ready to stone him. And Moses cries out to God and he says, what am I going to do with these people? What am I supposed to do with these people? See, the problem wasn't Moses' fault. He really, if it was me in my flesh, I'd say, yep, find a new leader. Find a new leader. I'm tired of it. You guys keep griping. You keep complaining to me. Find a new leader. I'm finding some different people to follow or to lead. I'm finding some different people. And I'm going to be bold for just a moment. There are times I think there are leaders of churches that leave when they're not supposed to. Though it is difficult, I don't think I could lead these Israelites. I don't think I could have done it. But Moses is called to do it. And when you're called to do it, wow, do you seem to be able to prevail against the arguments and the complaints and even the persecution on yourself from your own people? Why do you seem to be able to prevail? See, it wasn't even Moses' fault, and they blamed him. They blamed him. This is your fault, Moses. This is all your fault. See, here's the thing, church. Listen to me closely. See, a good leader leads even when the problem isn't their fault. Did you hear what I said? A good, godly leader will lead even when the problem isn't their fault. That's so important, and Moses so often did it. It was hardly ever Moses' fault, but yet he still stood in the gap for the people. He still interceded for the people. He still prayed for the people. He still loved the people. And even when God wanted to smite the people and destroy the people, Moses many times would say, Lord, just spare them. Show them mercy. So many times, and I know for a fact there's leaders of this church that pray for all of us. Earnestly. For God to show us mercy and grace in our life. That's so important to have. This was Moses' best trait. Moses had a lot of good traits. But really, this was Moses' best trait, is that he cried out to the Lord. It was his best trait that he could possibly ever have. And I wish churches would so often choose their pastor based on that. A pastor who would cry out for his people. A pastor that would intercede for his people. Don't get me wrong. Those other things, those are good things to look at too. But wow, if you do not have a pastor that cares wholeheartedly about the people that he's leading, that pastor will lead them in a way that they don't need to go. Into maybe a path of destruction. A pastor needs to care. A Christian leader needs to care for the people God has entrusted to you. See, Moses, God entrusted the Israelites with him. It was really Moses' responsibility to lead the people well. How do you lead the people well? You follow God. If a leader follows God, well, sure, the people will also be following God. Well, there'll be times where you mess up and stumble and things like that. You can't control all things. But a good godly leader leads the people when he follows God. And this is what Moses is doing here. He cries out to the Lord, "Lord, what am I supposed to do with these people?" In verse 5 it says, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go, and I will stand there before you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink.'" So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" See, does this not show the goodness of God? Is that the people quarreled, the people complained, the people were so moved to even stone Moses because they were so thirsty, because that battle that was in front of them, because they didn't have any water, and God provided for them anyway. He tells Moses to go to the rock and strike the rock, and the water will come. And what happens is it comes. And when God promises you something and you do it, he's going to come through. Amen? Amen. He's going to come through. This shows the goodness of God, that he provides for us despite us, our attitude sometimes. Despite our attitudes. Praise the Lord that he does that in our life. Despite our attitudes, despite the way that we act sometimes, he still provides for us. Even when he doesn't have to, he still does, because we're children of God. And there's no father like God. There's no father like God who takes care of his children. He provides for his children. But here, I'm gonna say this as a warning for all of us. But if we decide to have attitudes and complain our whole life, do not think there won't be a moment where God will take his blessed hand off of you. I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. The problem in my life, the battles in my life, the things I want to happen but aren't happening. And I start to complain and have attitudes. And the Lord isn't going to bless that. He might still provide for him and praise him for it. But he's not going to bless that. He's not going to bless that. And here's the thing. What happened in verse 7? It says he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? How many of you have ever said that? How many of us have ever said that? Is the Lord here or not? Are you here or not? See, here's the interesting part is that place was always known for the place where Israel tested God. You read the Old Testament, those names will come up, and they'll always say, this was known for the place where the Israelites tested God. This is what I don't want to be known for, is the person that complained about what God is doing in the church, in the ministries, in my own life. I want to be known for the person that praised God. I don't want to be known for the one who complained and griped and tested the Lord. I want to be known for the people that praise the Lord. And I just want to say, we ought not to complain about the ministries. We ought not to complain about the church and gripe about the church. All those things. Maybe that's hard to hear, but listen to me. I want to be known for the person that praised what the Lord is doing here. I want to be known for the church that praised God for what he's doing in the people's lives. This is so important. So important. Verse 8, it says the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand." See, here's another problem. The first problem is they had no water, and now they have another problem, a problem they've never faced before. What's that? Is they're about to go to war. They're about to go to battle. Let me put this in perspective. You have a bunch of slaves that have been slaves for 400 years, and now they got to go fight a battle? How are they supposed? They don't know how to fight a battle. They've never done it. Though they might be strong. I mean, 400 years of slavery probably got some muscles on you. You might be strong, but you don't know how to lead an army. You don't know how to run an army. You've never done it before. They're going to battle. And listen to me, you don't hear them complain here. Why? Because when the battle's right in your face, you ain't got time to complain. When the battle is right in front of you and you got a problem in your life and it's right there, you don't have time to complain. And here we see the Israelites, they don't have time to complain. Verse 10, it says, "So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name Amalek from under heaven. See, let's just recap what has happened. The army is coming in, and Moses tells Joshua, just a young Joshua, to go and choose some men to fight. If I was Joshua, I'm like, well, who am I going to pick? Which one of these guys went to war before? You went to war? No. You went to war? Nope. Who am I supposed to pick? Who am I supposed to pick? But Joshua's so faithful to Moses, so faithful to the Lord, he does it anyways. He picks a man and he goes out to war. And then Moses and Aaron and Hur, they go up to this mountain and they intercede for the people. That's exactly what Moses is doing. He's interceding for the people, his hands lifted high. And this battle is long and it's taking a long time. And he's beginning to go tired and weary, and his hands begin to fall and fall and fall. And this is what the people begin to notice, that when Moses' hands were not lifted up in intercession, they begin to lose. They begin to lose. So two men come up alongside of him. They lift his hands up the whole time. Lift his hands up. And they win. An army that's never fought a battle once. Probably not a very big army. Never fought a battle once wins. How did they win? The Lord. How do you have victory in your life? The Lord. Jimmy asked us a question yesterday at our meeting. He said something that hit me, struck me just a little bit. He asked anybody, said, do any of you need a win in your life? Anyone need a victory in your life? You can only have that in Christ. If you need a victory in your life, it only comes from Christ. The Lord protects his people. Moses goes up to the hill and he intercedes for the people and he calls out for God for victory. He calls out to God for victory. See, in ministry, you got people on the front lines and you got people interceding. In ministry, you have people that are doing the work, and praise the Lord, you've got people interceding for the people. You've got to have people in your church that pray for its leaders. You've got to have people pray for those that are on the front lines in ministry. It is way too difficult for ministry. It's too tiring. It's too weary to be able to do the work of God all by yourself. It's impossible to do. And praise the Lord for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. That I pray that in your life you have people to come alongside you, that when you begin tired and weary and you can't fight the good fight anymore, it's begin too much, you have people alongside you to lift up your hands to say, keep going. Keep your hands lifted high. You're gonna get the victory in your life if you keep your hands lifted high. And when you lift your hands up in prayer, the Lord will always give you the victory. Because it only comes through him. Moses gets tired and he has these men. You've got to have people in your life that you can trust in, that will hold your hands up. And then he tells Moses, this is what struck me the hardest out of all this whole thing. Maybe it won't you, and that's whatever the Lord wants to talk to you about, that's fine. But this is the one that just kind of blew me away. And it said, in verse 14, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name Amalek from under heaven. He says, write this down. Write this battle down. And he says, make sure Joshua hears it. Why? Because in the future, Joshua is going to have to lead the people. And the Lord never wants him to forget the time where he goes up against the Amalekite army and they win because they trusted in God. He tells Joshua, the Lord says, I want Joshua to hear it. And I pray that in this church, we never stop talking about what God has done in this church. And I pray you never stop talking about what God has done in your life, because the next generation and the next generation needs to hear that the Lord has been moving from day one, which means he's going to continue to move throughout eternity. Amen. 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 We never have to forget our past victories. And pray the Lord, pray to the Lord that you continue to have victory. in your life. Don't forget it. And I still remember when God plucked me out of my sinful life. I remember exactly where I was when He plucked me out and He gave me victory over death. He gave me victory over the grave. And even recently, let me just encourage you with this. Do not forget what the Lord is doing in our church ever. How He's bringing, we've never been over 100 this many times ever in this church's history. We've never had 10 baptisms this early ever in our history. How do we do those things? We don't do them because the church is great. We don't do them because we are great. We do them because the Lord is working. Praise the Lord for your past victories and pray that God will continue to give you victory in your life, because if you do, He is faithful. He is faithful to give you those victories. If there's things in your life that you need God to fight with you with, pray to Him, because He'll do it. Because He'll do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And wow, this is such an amazing piece. Verse 15 and 16. It says, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. The Lord is my banner." Amen. The Lord is my banner. Well, what is a banner? A banner is a flag. It's a flag. It's typically a flag with an emblem on, and the army would typically be right in the front. Why? So that for a couple reasons, it would show who that army was. Who is that army coming towards us? That's what a banner was for. But also, it was for the people, the army, to see, to follow it, to see it, to move towards it. And it was an honor. It was an honor to get to hold that flag. I'm not going to lie, it'd be pretty scary to hold a flag. If you got to be the flag holder, the banner holder, that's a pretty scary job, because you're pretty much defenseless. So you just have the honor of holding that flag up. In honor. And most of the time, even if that person was cut down, the next person to see it, they'd grab that banner and they'd lift it up and say, "We're still fighting. We're still fighting." And let me ask you, are you still fighting in your life? Are you still fighting? Are you struck down or defeated in your life? Pick up the banner of the Lord and fight the good fight. Amen? The Lord is our banner. Well, how is He our banner? He's the one we follow. He's the one we look towards. He's the one that we fix our eyes on, the author and perfecter of our faith. That is Christ. He is our banner. We look towards, we follow. Will we follow Him straight into war? Because we know that God will give us the victory. Amen? I pray you do that in your life. Oh, don't run from the battle. Don't run from the battle. Run to the one who can give victory. Run to the Lord who gives victory. Run to the Lord who is my banner. And number two, He is the one we remember. He's the one we celebrate. Many times banners after victories would be hung up in remembrance of the battle. Or the champion would be hung up in remembrance of the champion. Remember and celebrate what the Lord has done. Remember that God is powerful, that He is just, that He is righteous, that He is good, that He is loving, that He is all those things. Those things will motivate you in your life to continue to fight. To continue to fight. In verse 3, listen to it closely. He is the one we display. He is the one we lift up. We're not ashamed of Christ. We're not ashamed of the Lord, because He is our banner. We wear it proudly. We are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. We wear it proudly. Never put down your banner. Never put down the one you serve. But always lift your banner high so that the world may know that you fight for the Lord. Amen. Amen. And number 4, He is who we fight for. The Bible says you're soldiers. Maybe we don't like that. I like it. Maybe because I'm a guy, but I like that. We're soldiers for Christ in the army of God. What a privilege and what an honor to serve the living God. To be a soldier of Christ, fighting the battle of life. Being the light of Christ, quenching the darkness of life. That's a privilege and an honor to say, "I fight for the Lord Almighty." It's a privilege and an honor to get to say that I fight for the Lord. And this is an amazing piece to me, church, that God doesn't even need to use you for the fight, but He uses you because it shows His power and His majesty and His might to say, "I use these people to accomplish the will of God." That's amazing that He would use us. Why? Because you're children of God. Children of the King. And he uses us to fight the good battle. God deserves the glory. Amen, church? This is what I see through all this whole piece, is that God deserves the glory. God deserves. What does Moses say? Moses built an altar in worship and called it, "The Lord is my banner." What does it not say? It doesn't say the Israelites are my banner. It doesn't say Moses is my banner. It doesn't say Joshua is my banner. It doesn't say Philip is my banner. And it doesn't say New Life Fellowship is my banner. What does it say? The Lord is my banner. All the glory and honor go to God. Christ is our banner. Christ is our banner. I want to read a couple of verses. Just listen to them closely. Isaiah 11:10, it says, "It will happen in that day that the nations will seek the root of Jesse, who stands as a banner of the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious." In Isaiah 18:3, it says, "All you inhabitants of the world and you dwellers on the earth, when a banner is lifted up on the mountains, look when the trumpet is blown." Listen, this is amazing, church. And amazing that Christ is our banner. He was lifted up high, and then when he comes back again on the mountain, the banner will be lifted high. Look for it. And when the trumpet is blown, you'll see. Listen for it. Christ is our banner. And this is what I don't want our testimony to be here at New Life, is that when we stand before Christ and we say, Christ, all I did was complain. All I did was gripe about the awesome things that you're doing here. All I did was complain about the ministries. All I did was complain about the church. All I did was complain about the battles in my life. I want my testimony to be, I fought well. I fought well for you, Lord. And I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, I might change it just a little bit. "Well done, good and faithful soldier. Because you fought the battle well." The battle's not against flesh and blood. The battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the darkness and all those things. And at the end of that chapter, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Praise the Lord that we can intercede for our brothers and sisters who are fighting the battle, so that they don't got to do it on their own. Praise the Lord, we don't got to do it on our own. That's what I want this church's testimony to be. We fought well. I don't care what the color of this carpet is. I don't care if we have... Listen, I'm saying these things for a reason, so listen closely. I don't care what the color of the carpet is. I don't care if we do pews or theater seating. I don't care what color we paint the trim. I don't care how we do the sound. All I care about is that New Life Fellowship fought the good fight. And they took as many souls with them as they could. If that couldn't be your testimony, church, may I just be bold and say, you fought well. You fought well. We can gripe and complain. We sure can gripe and complain at times. I'm in with you. There's times I can gripe and complain. But why does the Lord convict me? Don't miss what I'm doing. Is the thing you're complaining about really that big of a deal? Is it more important than lost souls? Is it more important than the kingdom of God? Is it more important? See, we can gripe and complain, or we can fight. You have a choice. You can gripe and complain, just like the Israelites, or you can fight and trust the Lord. Oh, wow, do I pray that you fight and trust the Lord. Maybe you've lost your focus tonight. We've all been there. Problem too big. Maybe you're looking into the world too much. We've all lost our focus in our life. Call out to the God that restores and redeems. Amen. Call out to the one who can do something in your life. And maybe you've lost your desire to fight. Wow, we've all been there. We've lost the desire to fight. Ministry got too hard. God's calling in your life got too hard. And at times, even for us in the ministries, because we know it, the bank accounts got too low. Maybe you've lost your desire to fight the good fight. Call out to the God that can give you the strength There's no match for his strength. There's no match for his courage. It's funny, me and Jimmy joke. I don't know if you guys remember, but we have a verse for the year. We've done this for the last 3 years. We kind of have that verse to really push us throughout the year. We didn't ever realize how much that this verse we were going to need this year. And the verse is Joshua 1:9 or Deuteronomy 6:9. There's a couple spots where it says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You want to fight the good fight? Be strong and courageous. So let me ask you, church. Let me ask you. Is the Lord your banner? Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that tonight, Lord, if you need to convict our hearts, maybe we've complained about what you're doing. Maybe we've complained about the trials that are in our life. Lord, if we got bad attitudes, you're the one that can change a heart. Lord, I pray tonight that if we've lost our desire to fight this good fight, give us the strength through your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to fight it well. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you, that's never come to you for salvation, may they come to this altar and they cry out to you for you to come into their life and be their living hope. Lord, I pray tonight you work in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand. The altar is open for whatever the Lord has spoken to you about tonight.